Well, greetings, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're glad you're with us today as we continue in our study through the book of Hebrews. Bob and Richard have brought us some excellent insights, a great study, and today we'll build on what we've already heard. So buckle your seatbelt and away we go. Here is Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're into chapter 13, so we actually have two more weeks of the book of Hebrews. And this has been an exciting study for all of us, and we hope you've enjoyed it as well. This book of Hebrews is just one of the finest in the New Testament. It's of the highest order as far as its literary style, and its message is just superior to anything that we could read anywhere else. I mean, it really is the full counsel of God condensed down into one powerful book. And as we come to chapter 13, I want to step back and just look at a couple of verses in chapter 12 that really set the stage for what the writer of Hebrews is encouraging us to do in chapter 13. In verse 26 or 28 of Hebrews 12, it says this: "Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, and thus let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire." So we've received a kingdom that is unshakable. Mm-hmm. So what the writer of Hebrews is telling us is that we are standing on solid ground. Jesus Christ is that chief cornerstone. We are standing on him, and he will never crack or fade away or shift. It's rock solid. And so this life that we have in him is rock solid. It is going to endure. There's nothing that can take this life away. There's nothing that can change the fact that we're no longer under the old covenant, but in the new. That's truth that is immovable. It's just there for us. And so because we have a kingdom that cannot be shaken, it says, let us offer to God acceptable worship. Well, what is chapter 13? It is a look at some of those ways that we offer acceptable worship to God. Now, I think it's a noteworthy here to say that he's not calling for us to sacrifice things. The sacrificial system is over with. Yeah. There are no more sacrifices as far as sin is concerned. So this sacrifice that Jesus did, that he made on our behalf, is the very thing that liberates our hearts to worship God and serve others. So we're offering worship, just a heart response to the truth that God has revealed to us in Christ Jesus, to Christ himself. So he starts out in verse 13 with, I think, just the most appropriate statement: let brotherly love continue. Yes. So what does this gospel of Jesus Christ free us to do? To love one another as God in Christ has loved us. Mm-hmm. So it says, let that brotherly love continue. Continue to serve one another. And I think he uses the word brotherly there to talk about the family of God, that we are treating one another, brothers and sisters in Christ, with the love that God has for us. And it says, do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. Remember those who are in prison, and though in prison with them, and those who are mistreated, since you also are in the body. So one of the things that we've learned in this particular book is that some that the writer of Hebrews was writing to were under intense persecution, and they were being imprisoned for their faith in Jesus Christ. They were being mistreated. So he simply says here, don't forget about those folks. Yeah. You know, treat them as if you were in prison with them, and show hospitality. Maybe some of those have escaped. Maybe they're looking for a place. They need a place. They need somebody to open up their home to them. So the writer of Hebrews was simply saying, be hospitable. And that's an act of worship. And that's what we need to see. Worship isn't just about what we do on Sunday morning. It's not about singing praise songs or listening to a sermon or anything like that. That's part of it. That's a little tiny yes. sliver of what worship is. But here there's a lot of practical application, isn't there, Richard?
Yeah, it's, you know, I used to think that worship was music and choirs and organs and orchestras, and the more the merrier, you know, the bigger, it must be more praise-like if it's bigger. And then I started reading passages like this, and the Spirit was working on me saying, you know, every day when you go to work, that's an aspect of praise. When you talk to your kids or talk to your neighbor or mow the lawn, fold the clothes, every aspect of my life, if done by grace through faith with my eyes fixed on Jesus, is a sacrifice of praise. That just, it's one of those things that just changes the way you look at life.
It really does. And all of that is under the umbrella of brotherly love, letting
yes.
brotherly love continue. Well, what does that look like? Well, for these Hebrews, it looked like what the writer was just laying out, hospitality, remembering the prisoners and treating them as though you're in prison with them. That's what it looked like for them. That's what brotherly love looked like. And I love this passage. It says, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Now, we learned in chapter 1 and 2 that angels are merely ministering spirits sent by God to serve those who are going to inherit salvation. So as we, you know, it could be just another person, a messenger, somebody that
yeah.
God has sent to minister to you. And if you treat them with brotherly love and brotherly kindness, it says you may be entertaining an angel unaware, and you will probably never be aware
no.
of that, and you're not supposed to. But he's saying that God is sending people into your life to minister to you in special ways. So recognize that and receive that in a very, very positive way, as if God actually knows what you need at any given moment.
Yeah. More and more very deeply insightful things coming through the airwaves and through the internet to you, my friends. I hope you're hearing this as we study through this book of Hebrews with Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer. I'm Bob Davis, and of course, we're very glad that you're with us today. Our purpose here at Basic Gospel is to get this good news out to as many people as possible by every means available. You know, every time we read a listener email or you hear a caller saying that what they've heard on this broadcast has made a difference in their lives and in their understanding of the gospel, well, those who give to support this ministry have had a part in that. We want you to share in the blessing of partnering with us in this message of love, grace, and life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Join with us if you can, friends. Just click donate at basicgospel.net or donate by phone at 844-322-2742. You know, your gifts do make a difference. Again, that's 844-322-2742 or donate online at basicgospel.net.
Well, thanks, Bob. Well, let's continue. Hebrews chapter 13. We're going to be in verse 4 right now. And here the writer says, let marriage be held in honor among all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled, for God will judge the sexually immoral and adulterous. So how do we offer God worship? Well, one of the ways we do it is we hold marriage in high honor. Why? Because at the very beginning, when God created male and female, he instituted marriage. And he said, this is a good thing. One man, one woman, the man leaves and cleaves to the woman, and the two become one. That's what marriage is. So we need to hold that in high honor. The other reason that we need to hold that in high honor, because marriage is a reflection of Christ's great love for the church.
Yeah.
And so we've seen that love demonstrated right here in the book of Hebrews in the way that Christ offered up his body as the once for all sacrifice for sin. So that's how much he loved the church. He gave himself for it. So if we hold marriage in high honor and high regard and treat our wives as Christ has treated us and has loved us, and wives submit and respect to their husbands as if to the head, the Christ himself, then we're going to reflect out there in the world something much bigger than just a love relationship between a man and a woman. We're going to reflect a love relationship between Jesus Christ and his bride, between Jesus and the church. So when we hold it in high regard, we are offering worship to God. We're recognizing the truth about marriage. And so in that vein, in that light, he says, let the marriage bed be undefiled. This sexual union between man and woman is a holy union. It is not to be perverted. It's not to be treated lightly. It's not a casual thing. It is sacred and holy in all regards and all respects. And if you hold it up in such a way in this world today, you're going to be different. You're going to be different for sure. I mean, that's one of the big downfalls, the decays in our society, is sex has become nothing more than an act. It's become nothing more than just a casual act between two people that has very little meaning. Mm-hmm. Well, that's not how God invented it. That's not how God meant it to be. It's meant to mean something significant. The two becoming one. It's in 1 Corinthians 6, I believe, Paul is talking about sexual immorality, and he said this is the only sin that affects the body, and it does affect us personally, internally, inside of us. It leaves a scar. It leaves a mark when we pervert what God meant to be holy. And he says that he is going to judge the sexually immoral and adulterous, and this is just another way that those who are lost and manifest their lostness in sexual immorality and adultery and those sort of things, they're going to be judged for that because they've rejected the very life of Jesus Christ. So we need to hold the marriage in high honor. Why? Because it reflects Christ's love for the church. So being a part of a marriage, being in a marriage as a believer to another believer, you're a part of something much bigger than yourself. So hold it in honor. That's just your reasonable act of worship. Keep your life free from the love of money. You can't love money and love God at the same time. And certainly this world is built around sex and money, isn't it?
Yeah.
Those are the two big temptations that can snare each and every one of us. And so we need to live a life free from the love of money. That doesn't mean that we can't have money. That doesn't mean we can't use money. Money's just a part of the world. That's just how we transact business, but through money. So it's saying don't worship money. Don't think that happiness comes from money. Don't bow your knee to money and making money and those sort of things. Why? Because it's going to lead to a life where you're not content. If you're striving for money, you'll never have enough. But if you just steward the money that God has given you, you can find genuine contentment. So that's what he's saying. I want you to be content. And here's a good reason for us to be content. He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So you can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? So our contentment is in Christ, and he's never going to leave us nor forsake us. Money can come, money can go. That's just the way it is. So if you're trying to build a life on the foundation of money, you're on shaky ground, and you're never going to have contentment. But Jesus Christ, he has come to us, he has parked himself in us, he lives in us, and he will never leave us nor forsake us. And so we always have someone we can depend upon. There's always this rock that we can stand upon, an unshakable, immovable rock. And so in all things, we can say, the Lord is my helper, and what can man do to me? Pretty powerful passage, isn't it?
Oh, yes. For me, verses 4 and 5 and and 6 here. It is maybe one of the clearest definitions to me between the difference between worship and idolatry. When we're in idolatry, we're never content. We focus on money. We focus on sex. That's the way it's always been in the history of the world. When we are worshiping the one true God, and we do that because he now lives inside of us via the Holy Spirit, then marriage is pure and honorable. We don't get caught up in money. We use it. We hold it lightly, but it doesn't manage us. We manage it, and we're content. I mean, what a contrast.
It is a huge contrast. And you know, we think of the world as a very complex, complicated, nuanced place. And boy, when you distill it down, when you peel off all those layers and get down to brass tacks, you see that money, that the world is just revolving around money, sex, and idolatry. I mean, that's all it is.
Yeah.
You know, what's at the root of what's happening in the world today?
Yeah.
Money, sex, and idolatry. That's it. We don't have to complicate it any more than that. And when we understand that, then we have some real substance to offer out there to the world.
Absolutely. Well, it's the Basic Gospel Study through the Book of Hebrews with Bob Christopher and Richard Piper. Glad you could join us. It's such a rich study, friends, and you know, you can pop into the archive anytime at basicgospel.net/teaching. The entire Hebrews series is right there. So if you want to review, or if you've missed any of the sessions along the way, that's where you'll find this entire study. And please be sure to share it with your family and friends. Again, you'll find it at basicgospel.net/teaching.
Well, thanks, Bob. Well, let's keep going. Verse 7 of chapter 13, remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. If you're following along on our study notes, which are available at basicgospel.net/teaching, and I would certainly encourage you to download those. This section I've entitled Stay True to the Word of God and the New Covenant. There are a lot of crazy religious messages out there in the world today. And so he's saying, remember the leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. In other words, those who brought Jesus into your life. Remember those. And he goes on to say, consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. And certainly some of the leaders back in those days, they were being persecuted for simply proclaiming that Jesus died and was raised back to life. And in this resurrection, there's a new covenant. There's final and total forgiveness of sins. There's righteousness. There's new life. And so they were being persecuted for that. And so he's saying, hey, consider your leaders who brought Jesus into your life, who brought the message of this new covenant into your life, and imitate their faith. And then he, you know, I love this section because it's laced with practical outworkings of this relationship we have with Christ. But it's mixed with just some deep theological truths. And so he's saying, hey, you can look at people, you know, 100 years ago who walked by faith in God. You can look 1,000 years ago at people who walked by faith in God. And you can see in any time and any generation that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. When he is introduced into the life of a person, the same thing happens. He brings forgiveness to those who need forgiveness, and that's all of us. He makes us alive together with him. Why? Because we were dead spiritually, and he ushers us into this new covenant. And that's true of any believer. Why? Because that's what Jesus has been about since he was raised from the dead, bringing new life, forgiveness, righteousness, this new covenant to everyone who believes in him. So don't be led away by diverse and strange teachings. And there's a whole bunch of them out there. Yeah. I mean, it is just mind-boggling to think of all the crazy stuff that is being taught in the name of Christ, being taught under the umbrella of Christianity. It is so far away from the simple, clear teaching of the Word of God. But yet, if we're not content with who we are in Christ, if we're restless on the inside, if we think there's something better that might come along, we have set ourselves up to to latch on, to bite into that hook and be drawn away, be deceived. So we need to guard against that. We need to not be led away by diverse and strange teachings. Now, Richard, how is that possible? Isn't the Holy Spirit kind of the one that we need to bounce everything off of, and the Word of God, so that we can know if something is strange and diverse, or if it's in line with what this new covenant is all about?
Well, you just answered it. I mean, we have a chance because we have the mind of Christ, the Holy Spirit living within, to read the Bible with true understanding for the first time. Before we had the Holy Spirit, we could look at the Bible and see 1,000 different things. But when we've got the mind of Christ, he points out the golden path through the Bible. It's Jesus. And all of this stuff that represents him and informs our lives and informs our thinking, and if we will follow that, we will not be carried away. But if we start getting out there and getting all interested in other stuff. I mean, I just talked to a person earlier this afternoon that I was looking at a video online, and this person said they'd been to heaven and they came back, and God said, you know, you guys just need to tithe. And if you don't tithe, you're going to hell.
Oh,
and where did that come from?
It
came straight out of somebody's fevered imagination. It did not come from the Holy Spirit. No. Holy Spirit tells you to give generously, etc. We've talked about that. There is no need to be carried away. What we have, you talked about it earlier, we have an anchor for our souls.
That's right.
That will not move and will hold us on the rock of Jesus Christ, never to be worried about again by craziness.
Yeah. And what we actually have is something that will strengthen our hearts.
Yeah.
So all this diverse teaching out there may tickle our ears and stir our imaginations, but they will never strengthen our hearts. And that's what he says. Do not be led astray by these strange teachings, for it is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace.
Yeah.
Only the grace of God will strengthen the heart of a person. Only the grace of God can truly encourage and bring a person to that point of finding contentment in the Lord Jesus Christ. So he says, it's good for the heart to be strengthened by grace, not by foods which have not benefited those devoted to them. We have an altar from which those who serve the tent have no right to eat. So there was the sacrifices of the old covenant. Many of those sacrifices, once they were made, became food substances, both for the priest and the worshipers.
Mm-hmm.
They provided food. And so the people loved those sacrifices because it filled their bellies. But those who are bowing at that altar have no right to eat at the altar of Christ Jesus himself. They have shrunk back from that grace that could strengthen their heart for food substances. And it's just kind of selling their souls short,
yeah,
so to speak.
Yeah,
everything we need is in Christ.
Yeah, this really echoes what Jesus said. I've got food you don't know anything about.
Right.
And now he's given that food to us.
That's right.
Yeah.
His very life. That's what we receive with Jesus. So let's let this grace of God be the very message that strengthens our hearts. Let's let this grace of God be the very message that shapes our actions towards others. Let this grace of God be the very truth that we put into the lives of others.
Absolutely. Thanks for being with us today for our study in Hebrews, everybody. Incredible insights. I hope you're hearing it. Friends, we need your help to keep this message on the air and to take it to others who need to know of the love, grace, and life of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Click donate when you visit basicgospel.net, or you can donate by phone at 844-322-2742. And when you make your gift this month, we have a special gift to say thanks for partnering with us. Again, that's 844-322-2742, or donate online at basicgospel.net. And by the way, later today, tonight, or over the weekend, if a question pops into your mind about something you may have heard on Basic Gospel, give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. That same number, 844-322-2742. Well, now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Pfeiffer and the ministry team, Bob Davis with your invitation to join us again on Monday after a great weekend of the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.